Hope Rosh Hashanah was uplifting. It's very exciting. Today's daf is daf Pei Gimel. And Ksuba, as we get to start the ninth parak in the Masechta. Today's shir is exclusively the Nishmas, my grandmother. My grandmother's Yurtzeit was, well, not today, but yesterday on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So today's shir should be Lili Nishmas, Chana Bas Shimon, Neshama Shavan Aliyah. And we're going to go fight during the Heilige Shas. So the mission of this parak, also continuation of last parak, talking about starting off the mission about the Nichse Malog. And the question is, when a husband wants to relinquish or release himself from some of the, not the obligations, but the schusim, some of the things that he's able to do with his wife's Nichse Malog, for whatever reason, he wants to kind of pull himself out of that ability. So again, just to recap, we're going to talk about three different things that the husband gets with the wife's Nichse Malug, with the property that she brings into the marriage. Right, first of all, he gets the peros, right, that we've been talking about. He gets the produce, whatever that land or whatever, let's say, creates. He gets it, he inherits it if she dies. And he also, because he has a right to the field and to the inheritance, etc., and to the peros, so he can also get rid of any sale. If the wife would sell that Nichse Malug for whatever reason, so he can counteract and be mevatel that sale. So those are the three things that the husband gets to do with his wife's Nichse Malug. And so now with that background, we'll see in a second, they'll all come up right away in the Mishnah. Hakosev l'ishto, if someone writes to his wife, for whatever reason, din udvarim ein li b'nichsayich. I don't want to have any din udvarim, I don't want to have anything to do with your nechasim. So halacha is hareza ochel peros bechayav and meso yorsha. The first two things, the peros and the fact that he inherits her, he still gets. Meaning he can't, he doesn't. That language will not get rid of those two those two abilities. I imkain lama kasev lo din v'dayin in the binechazayach. So what does that accomplish? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says she imachra v'nasna kayim, that if she sells it, then it's a good sale. Meaning he's no longer able to protest any sale of the nechasim. Now, what if kasev law din medvarim ainly benechasayach uv peros sayen? What if he now writes, I don't want to have anything to do with your land and its produce? So reza ino ochel peros bechaya. Right. So then that gets rid of the second ability, the fact that he gets the peros v'meso yorsha, but he still is able to inherit her if she dies. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda omer la'olam ochel peri peros ashi kasev la din medvarim ainly benechasayach uv peros sayen uv peri peros sayen ad olam. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you have to go a bit further than that. That he doesn't lose the peros until he writes that I don't want to have anything to do with your peros. I apologize. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees slightly. He says, really, if you write that language, that if ainly benechasayach uv peros sayen, then you're not allowed to use the peros, but you are able to use the peri peros, the produce of the produce. As the Gemara will explain in another base, that means that if the wife would then take the peros and buy more karka, more land, and that would have peros. So the second level, the second generation peros, he would still get, unless he writes, I don't want to have anything to do with your peros forever. Okay, and then he has to have that extra language. If he then adds a third level, a third language to his declaration, I don't want to have anything to do with your the land or with the produce or with anything having to do even after you pass away. So that gets rid of all three schusim, all three of abilities that the husband has with the next time look. Rishimah says not exactly. Because even if you write something about not inheriting the land, it makes us still Yerushena, he's still going to inherit her. Why? Because that's already a condition, or a t'nai, right, against the Torah. The Torah says, right, he holds it, if you look in Rashi, right, he says, the Torah says, the Pasuk says, L'sheiro akarove lav, mishpachtov yirasho sa, says it's extra, right, we darshan out that the husband inherits the wife, that's a din del raisa. The other two are drabanan, enactments to make sure the wife doesn't get messed over. Right? Again, the peros is connected her supporting her in the whatever the maaseh does. Okay, whatever. Either way, those the first, now I'm getting confused. But the first two are derabanan. That one is daraisa. That's now batel. And if you make a tanai against something that's written in the Torah, right? So then the tanai is batel, right? And the maaseh is kaim. So therefore that would get that would not work. Okay, Tanya Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya said the following: Ha Omer LeIshto, right? He said even right. We've been talking about Hakosei, right? Yeah, you write all this language for whatever reason. Rabbi Chiya says even if you say it, that works too. as you have the switch, right? Again, forget, don't forget, writing it can even be if you say it. Gemara says, what do you mean? Because of lahachi, my havi. Right? The Bryce says, forget about saying, the whole concept of the Mishnah doesn't make sense. Why would it even work if you wrote it? Right? Why would the Mishnah, why does this work? Why does this happen? Because we're learning the Bryce, home and chaveiro dim dvarim inli al sodazu, vainly asikba, that if two people are shudfim, two people own a property together, and one of them writes, I don't have anything to do with this field, this stuff, right? Whatever language he uses, so that's nothing. Right? He keeps that half, right? He keeps the half of the field that he owns. But again, Rashi over explains that it's not a language of a matana, right? It's not a language of a matana, right? If you can go right, the ain kan lashon matana, right? You have to actually write or say a language of, I'm giving you this as a gift, and it doesn't work. So over here, why does that not work? Right? The husband, why does it work? Right? The husband is lechora shutef with his wife in the property, sort of, as we'll see. But lechora, if it doesn't work to get rid of a partnership, it shouldn't work to relinquish any of these rights from the husband. So Amrei debate Rabbi Yannai is learning the base medrash. Rabbi Yannai, because of love oda arusa, because the case is where they still are an arus, they're still engaged, or she's still an arusa, they're still the first level of marriage. And chenami, if they were fully married, they were full shutfim, so then it would not work. But this is a case where it's they're not yet fully married, and therefore the husband has an ability to stop his collection of these rights. He's going to get these rights when they get fully married, and at this point the husband can put a stop to it before he gets it. But anyway, once he gets these rights, then he would require some other type of transaction. Kidrav Kana, Dam Rav Kana, Nachla Haba, Adam Makam Acher, Adam Masna Ala, Shol Yirashana, as Rav Kana said, that if a person's going to get inherit something, he can stop it right before it happens. Like Rava said, Rava Ha'omer Efshi B'Tekadus Chachamim Kigon Zu Shomen Lo. And Rava says, if a person says, I'm not interested in this Din D'Rabbanan like this, and we're going to explain what this is in a second. So Shomen Lo, we listen to him. Meaning again, the Chazal were attacking these types of things for a person's benefit. If he's not interested in opting in, so then he has that Rishus. Again, obviously, we're not talking about Isurim D'Rabbanan, like Mukta or whatever the Chazal were attacking for a benefit. But here, this financial situation that the Chazal was set up, and if a person's not interested, that's for your benefit. If you don't want it, so then that's fine. Mike Gonzu, what is this case that we were talking about before, that when Rav says, Kidravuna Damarav, Damaravuna Marav, you hold the Isha Shetomer, the Baila, any Nizonas for any Osa. That, for example, a wife can say, I'm not going to get food from you, right? I'm not going to get supported by you, and I'm not going to give you my seyada. Right? Chazal were mitakin that a husband has to support his wife, and so he doesn't. He shouldn't feel bad that she's taking all his money, right? They were mitakin that the husband should get the wife's seyada, the wife's salary, whatever produce that she makes on her own, right? Whatever she makes. But if her salary is going to override the amount of food, and not override, is going to be more than the amount of food that the husband's providing her on a daily basis, so then she can opt out of that. That doesn't have to be. It's not a shibud. It's not a slavery type situation. It was for the wife's benefit. Back in the day, most times, right, the wife's salary or whatever she would make would not be enough to cover her food and so and her parnasa or whatever. So the husband was told to take care of her in exchange for her maaseyada. Usually the husband was losing money in that case. But if it's not and the wife's not interested, right, if the husband was going to benefit, she wants to keep her maaseyada and buy her own food, so that's fine. So the wife says, okay, but now the question you may be asking again, if we said this all works, right, this whole thing only works when they are arusa, when they had the first stage of marriage, but if they were fully married, so then it doesn't work. So the Gemara says, Yachi, I feel in the suanami. And if you're telling me that you're able to opt out of this din derabanan, so why can't the husband opt out of the din derabanan after they're fully married? So Abaye and Rava have a couple of ways of saying it, and we'll see an afkamin in a second. Abaye says, because nisua yado ki yada, excuse me, but when they're married, their hands, meaning their rights to this property, are equal, right? And they're, therefore, they're, as we said, tried to explain before, it's like a shutvus, it's like a partnership, and therefore he has to actually literally give her a matana. He has to, you know, kind of, you need a full kinyan and a whole deal. He can't just say it. And Rava Amar Yado Adifa Miyado. And not only that, it's not only that there's a partnership, it's that he's even better, right? His hand, his rights to the next name Alug, right, is Adifa, is even better, is even more. Is more powerful. And after that, certainly he can't get rid of the rights. What's the difference? Why would you even say that? So nafkamina l'shemeres yavam. The nafkamina is, right, the case of shemeres yavam who dies. Now we had this before, right? If you remember, we had a Mishnah that said that beishan v'zel of machlokes, if a shemeres yavam dies while before yibum and she has nichse malug, what do you do with that? So beishan v'zel, right, machlokes. Beishan said he split it. V'zel said that matzim v'chavel l'varaya, that the, you know, it stays. In general, just cutting it short, it stays with the original family. Right, so Abaye says that machlokes is when they got property when they were still married, right, and therefore, right, everything was equal. That's why you split it 50-50. Right, that's why you have that machlokes. Rav is going to say no. That we're talking about when they're fully married, then the wife, the husband is more. Yadawal Yona, he has more rights to the nechse maluk, and therefore, for sure, the property is going to stay by the husband's. By the husband's family, but the machlokas would be if the shemeres yavam got property in between, right? Let's say her father passed away in between while she's waiting for yibum, and then she died, and that would be the machlokas b'sham. So, okay, that would be the nafkamina in our machlokas. Okay, yiboylu. Now, going back to this, what we said before, Rashi explained a little bit of machlokas here. Rashi tells us, but let's just say Rashi. Rashi says that the machlokas we're going to talk about now, going back to the shutfis, we're going back to the partnership, right? That we said that. Again, the first thing we had said, the second thing we had quoted was, the Bryson that said, "Ha'omer l'chaveru din v'dvarim mainly al sodazu," right? That's nothing, right? Again, we said that's nothing. A person has to formally give away any partnership, any shufis that he has in a field. So, ibarlu. But what about kanu miyado mahu? What about if there was a kinyan, right? What about if there's a kinyan? If you look at Rashi, just trying to find the line. The Rashi kanu miyadu mahu. I think it's a Kenyan sudar, meaning they made some sort of Kenyan. Okay, I'm not sure. I don't see it right here. Just looking at it quickly. Meaning they say, he said, I don't want to do anything with you, but I don't want anything to do with the field. But then there was some sort of Kenyan. So. Well, does that work? So, Amar of Yosef, midin is a little bit confused, vague language, but just explain what it means. Amar of Yosef, midin dvarim kano miyado, and Rav Nachman says, mi gufa shel karka kano miyado. Rav Yosef says, that kinyan is based on the midin dvarim, which is nothing, right? The language of din dvarim in the asik, in the bacha, in the al sadazu, or whatever. So, the kinyan is based on the phrase that he said before, which we said was worthless, so therefore the kinyan is worthless. And Rav Nachman says, no, the kinyan is on the karka, right, and therefore it's good, and the other guy owns the entire field. Amar Abaye, Mistav Rav Nelson Rav Yosef, Be'orer, that Rav Abaye said, I'll split it with you. That Rav Yosef, when he says it's no good, right, said, it makes sense where Orer, where the other guy, right, the other guy comes and says, hey, I don't want to hold to this. Right, meaning that the guy comes back and said, no, you know what? I didn't really mean to give him the property. Right? He was just saying Amarti l'cha shelo ari v'imcha. Rashi says in the third line over here, I was just saying it so we don't have. I don't want to have a fight with you about the land. But I wasn't actually trying to give you the parnasa, the karka. That's when we're going to say that it's Rav Yosef that it's no good. But omed. But if the guy didn't say anything and then he showed up a couple days later, so then migufa shel karka kadam yado. Then we're going to say, like Rav Nachman, that it is valid, it is legit. Amar Meimar, help us on the goof of Shakar Kanamiyada, which I know the halacha is, right, that it is good. The Kenyan will affect and change ownership for the Shidfis. Amar Leir, Rav Ashi La Meimar, Ba'oro Ba'omeid. Well, in which case is the halacha? Right, if the guy complains or the guy doesn't say anything, right, in which case do we say that the Kenyan is good to transfer the ownership from one shidduch to the other? So the Gemara says, well, the mind of Kamina. So the Gemara says, what's the difference? So, well, look at the Rav Yosef, right? What did we just said about according to Rav Yosef? Rav Yosef just said, right, by, not really Rav Yosef, but Abaye. And Abaye said in the name of Rav Yosef, or talking about, or supporting Rav Yosef, rather, I mean, in his case, right, if the guy protests right away. So Amar Lei, he said to him, Lo Shmi Ali, Kloma Lo Sri Ali. So he said, Nah, Enechanami, I haven't heard of that, and therefore, meaning he doesn't agree with the split, and therefore, in either case, he would hold that it will transfer ownership. Okay, in the Kain Lama Kasavla, again, we said before in the Mishnah, right, what's the point? And so if you write it, so then that the first language of the Mishnah, we had said that will get rid of the schus of his ability to block the sale. So Gemara says, "V'tema let me call mili aslik as nafshe." Well, why doesn't the wife come back and say it's not the only right that you lost is not to block the sale, but why don't meaning? why doesn't he lose the other two rights, right? The rights to his peiros and the rights to inherit it from his wife. Why does he only if he says dinu dvarim enli, whatever the language is, what's the language? Dinu dvarim enli b'nechsayich. Why do we assume that he loses the third, let's say, the third right to the field, which is the ability to block the sale? Why doesn't he lose the other two as well? Because whenever we have some sort of shady language, some sort of unclear language, right, we take away the least, right, of alach tachtona, the least possible, not least possible, but the least powerful ability. So Gemara says, well, the imim peri, why is that not the ability for him to get peros? Meaning, how did you rank them? Why are we ranking these rights that the husband has in the next malug in that order? Maybe the weakest one is to get the fruit, to get the peros from the field right now. So Rabbi Abaye says, butzna tav mikaro. I'm not sure exactly how to translate these, but basically a small vegetable is bigger, better than a vegetable, than a bigger vegetable. Meaning a smaller vegetable now, right, again, what he's getting now in the field is produce, and that's lechora, you know, not as much as the field is worth. The field is real karka, real value. So his ability to get the entire field later, right, is not as valuable, right, as his ability to get peros right now. So we assume that the peros is better than a potential ability to, let's say, block the sale or inherit. So Gemara says, well, what about inherited? For Eben Miarsha, why don't we say that the least of these abilities is to inherit her? So Amar Abaye says, Misa Shchicha, right, it's much more common for the wife to die. Tosafos here says over here, because unfortunately, something we may take for granted nowadays, but you know, very often the wife would die in childbirth, lo aleinu, and mechira lo shchicha. But it was not common for her to sell the field. And Tosas again, kind of acting like Rashi, says because shekashla limkor mishum shvach beis aviyah. It's much harder for the wife to sell. Again, she got this property from her father. Right, the next name of she got it from her family. So much harder for her to sell, right, her family's plot. So that was very uncommon, but it was more common for the wife to die before the husband. And therefore, when the guy is, you know, pulling himself out of one of these rights, Pasha says he's coming to pull himself out of something that is less common. So we're going to take the least of these abilities, which is these ability to block the sale. The sale is the least common occurrence. So the least, the worst right that the husband has in this field is to block a potential sale, which is not common. Ravashi says, no, a little bit different. We don't say yado al tachtona. Rather, benechsayich v'lu b'peretei and benechsayich v'lu lachamisa. Because when the language of benechsayich, when the guy says, I'm taking away my ability to your benechsayich, your nechasim, right, that excludes peros and yerusha. Right? The language itself, right, seems to exclude those other two cases. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Omer la'olam ho'okal peri peros. But again, Rabbi Yehuda said he can get the secondary peros, unless he says it ad olam. Tamar Rabbanu Lender Baisa Elohim peros Elohim peri peros. Which is which? Right? What? How do you define that? So echnisa lo karka ve'asa peros harizen peros. Right? If she brings in land to the marriage and then they make fruit, let's say again apple orchard, whatever. So that's the peros. Machar peros v'lakach man karka. If they sell the peros and then buy another field and then v'asta peros and that makes peros. So that's harehen peri peros. That's second level peros. By the way, that's the question. The Rabbi Yehuda peri peros davka, right? O dilma ad olam davka. O dilma tarvaya davka. Right? Again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, right, for the husband to not be able to use the peros of the field forever, he has to say peri peros, right, ad olam. What was the language? Just to quote it, right, flip back. So do you need both of them? All of those language? Is it just to say periperos? Do you need to say just ad olam, or do you need to say all three of them? And questions like this. Because if you need to say periperos, so ad olam lamali, why do you need to say forever? So the kamash malan, so it must be came into kasav la peri peros, command the kasav la ad olam dami. That it's the same. The peri peros means forever. If imtun salam or ad olam dafka, and if you're telling me that you need to write forever, so peri peros lamali. What do you have to write peri peros? So kamash malan teaches me that afa gav the kasav la peri peros that even kasav la ad olam in ilo lo. That the Mishnah is saying that even if you wrote the secondary second level peros, you have to write forever. Right, but if he doesn't write forever, so then maybe the third level panels he should get. And if you need both of them, so tarti lamali. So what do you need both of them? So the Gemara says, Tzricha, really, we need all of it. Right? Peri peros ad olam. The cause of la peri peros, the cause of la olam. If you would have just had the peri peros and not wrote forever, tzavamina, you might have thought that peri peros would lo achol, aval achol, aval peri de peri peros achol. That you might have thought that the second level, but he doesn't, he's taking, he's not having second level, but third level he would. Therefore you need to tell me forever. Because of La Ad Olam, and if he would only said Ad Olam, because of La Peri Peros, then you wouldn't have thought that he didn't write just the second level Peros. You might have thought Ad Olam is just talking about the Peros. Meaning that what he's trying to say is that I'm never gonna use these Peros. Right, the first level. But the second level he's not referring to whatsoever. So La Haki is truly Peri Peros, therefore you need to tell me. So therefore, Lechora, right, the Shaila is that Lechora, that makes sense, that it seems to be that Rabbi Yehuda would require all three of them, but that's the Shaila. I mean, the Gemara just clarified the Shaila, didn't really write an answer so much. So Pasha says, right, we would need all three languages, or all two languages. Ibadu, that's the following Shaila. Kasav la din dvarim ainli ben chasayichu peri peros, right, ma'u sheyachu peros. If he skipped the first level, if he skipped first level peros, meaning he says, I don't want anything to do with your field, and the peri peros. So what about the first level peros? Mi peri peros selik nafshei, mi peri lo selik nafshei. Is he doing that specifically? That he doesn't want to have anything to do with the field and the second level peros, but the peros he wants? Otamon mi kol mili selik nafshei. Or maybe he doesn't want to have to do anything with the peros as well. So Gemara says, what do you mean? Pshita should be obvious. The Mikol Mili Selig Nafshi. He wants to get rid of all of it, right? He doesn't want to have to do with any of it. Diya Martis Miperi Peros Selig Nafshi. Because if you're saying that he's only, you know, abstaining from the second level Peros, Miperi Lo Selig Nafshi, but he's not, you know, holding himself back from the regular Peros, well, Kim Dachlin of the Peros, Peri Peros Mehecha. Well, how do you get second level Peros? You sell the first level Peros, buy a field, and then you get second level Peros. But if the husband is saying that he wants to have the peros and consume them and eat them and whatever, so where are you getting second level peros from? Kumar says, I don't like that so much. Because let's make according to that, Hazitan, our mission says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo olam hu ochel peri peros, right? Rabbi Yehuda says he can always have the second level peros, right? Unless he specifies. But kevin dachlinu le peri, but what do you mean? In that case, if you're telling me that the husband is opting out of the peros, and the wife is allowed to have the peros. Peri peros me'echa. Where are you getting second level peros from? Right? It's Ella b'dishayra. It must be in the case where it was left over. Zachanami b'dishayra. It must be over here. Well, the case where the peros are left over, right? You consume some peros. You leave some other peros to buy another land, right? Business is good. You have half the apple orchard you eat, half the apple orchard you sell. You buy another piece of land, right? So theoretically, right, the shayla is possible that the guy could be pulling out of the second level peros while still saying he wants to use some of the original peros. And again, the Gemara does not answer the shayla. Okay, Shkar Kol Rabosu, we'll invite you to Halachas tomorrow. Have an easy fast, and have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this.